So today is the disappearance day of Srila Gadadhar Pandit, one of the members of the Panchatattva, who is actually Srimati Radharani in Krishna Leela. And it is the 100th disappearance day of Srila Satchidananda Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So His Grace Sarvatma Das brought this book called The Seventh Goswami, a biography of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur by Rupa Vilas Das. And his plan was to just open the book anywhere and read. So on his behalf, I opened the book, and behold, I opened to the first page of a chapter called Bhakti Kuti and Swananda Sukada Kunj, which deals with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's later activities in Jagannath Puri. At the turn of the century, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was inspired to return to Jagannath Puri, the site of the final pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who had recently been initiated by Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, stayed there in his association as a Naishtika Brahmachari. He was performing bhajan in the renounced mood of his gurus at the Gandharvika Giridhari Math, which was located just near the samadhi of Srila Haridas Thakur. In order to facilitate his son's worship, the Thakur had the temple repaired and cleaned. Daily, as has been described in the first volume of this series, Array of Vishnu, they gave lectures, and the Thakur established a place of bhajan a short distance from the ocean, also near the samadhi of Haridas Thakur, which he called Bhakti Kuti. Later, when there was a severe controversy arising from the attempt of the Thakur and Saraswati Thakur to correct the deviations of Radharaman Charandas Babaji, the Thakur instructed his son to perform his bhajan in Mayapur. Well, within this paragraph there are many incidents that could be described in volumes. But Radharaman Charandas Babaji was a, he came from a good family, and in terms of his personal behavior, he was proper and moral. But he had some concocted, deviant notions that that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra should be chanted only in japa and not in kirtan. And his group had a concocted mantra, Bhajanitai Gaurade Sham, Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, tried to reason with him and correct him. And at one stage, their arguments were so powerful and so convincing that he actually seemed to agree with them. But in the end, he persisted in his ways. And it became a sort of regular occurrence that Radharaman Charan Das Babaji's followers would specifically go by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mutt and loudly chant their concocted mantra. And it became the practice in the mutt that as soon as they would come, one of the brahmacharis would come and bang a gong, and all the other brahmacharis would come running down and very loudly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in kirtan. And then eventually they stopped coming that way because I guess they didn't like the gong being rung and then their kirtan being drowned out by the kirtan of the brahmacharis of the Gaudiya Mutt. So this, I think the basic idea is that the kirtans should be received through parampara as recorded in Shastra. And, although these kirtans do have the names of God and so in one sense they're not bad, but they are not they're not proper, and one should receive the mantra through parampara in order to get the fruit. A devotee named Krishna Das Babaji, who later became the disciple of the Thakur, stayed in Puri as an assistant and became very dear to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He continued to serve him up to the last moment of the Thakur's life. And feeling intense separation from his master, he gave up his own life a year later. His samadhi is found just next to the Thakur's in Godruma Dweep. At Bhakti Kuti, the Thakur performed his bhajan in solitude. His biographers state that occasionally some impious rascals tried to disturb him, But Krishna protected him in every respect. A number of sincere persons also came there to see him, however, and they were inspired and saved by his association and blessings, which he readily gave them. I guess we'll read one more paragraph. The Thakur stayed in Puri for some time, but he eventually returned to his place in Godroom, Swananda Sukhada Kunj, where he continued to chant and to translate and write books. In 1900, one of his most important works, Sri Harinam Chintamani, was published. It presented the teachings of Srila Haridas Thakur about the Holy Name and other important aspects of spiritual practice as collected from various Gaudiya Vaishnav literatures. It was divided into 15 chapters and composed in Bengali verse. In 1901, he published Srimad Bhagavatartaka Marichi Mala. In this important book, the Thakur presents a study of the Srimad Bhagavatam in 20 chapters, arranging its principal verses so as to illustrate the divisions of Sambandha, the soul's relationship with God, Abhideya, the means for reviving that relationship, and Prayojana, the ultimate goal of life. The Sanskrit verses were accompanied by Bengali prose translations and explanations by the Thakur. The Bhagavatam is compared to the sun, and each chapter is considered to be an individual ray of Bhagavat sunlight. In his concluding remarks, Srila Bhaktivinoda describes how he came to write the book as he did. Quote, "How I was inspired to compile this work is a mystery which I felt improper to disclose, as it might constitute spiritual conceit. Subsequently, I realized that it would be a slight against my spiritual master, which might stand as an obstacle on the path of my spiritual progress. And therefore, without any shame, I record the fact that, while under the benediction of my guru, I was meditating deeply upon the Srimad Bhagavatam one day, when in a vision Sri Swarup Damodar, an intimate adherent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instructed me to compile the verses of the Bhagavata in accordance with the principles of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, as set forth by Sri Chaitanya, so that the book could be read with an easy understanding and with happiness by the devotees of the Lord." Sri Swarup Damodar further guided me by giving me a wonderful explanation of the first verse of the Bhagavat, and he also showed me how I was to explain the verse in the light of the Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy. End quote. In the same year, the Thakur published an edition of Padma Purana as well as the Sankalpa Kalpa Druma by Srila Bhakti, by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, with Bengali prose translations by Thakur Bhakti Vinod. In 1902, he brought out a supplement to Harinam Chintamani called Bhajan Rahasya. It was arranged in 8 chapters, and the chanting of each chapter is to be observed in correspondence with each 3-hour period of the 24-hour day. Each chapter corresponds also to one verse of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam, and deals with one of the 8 steps in the gradual development of Krishna Bhajan, as is enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. All the chapters are filled with scriptural quotations explaining the philosophy and practice of worshiping Krishna. Each Sanskrit verse is accompanied by the Thakur's Bengali translation in both prose and verse. This was one of his last major works, and it can be observed that the subject matter of the Thakur grew increasingly more elevated and esoteric as time passed. It was clear that his daily existential experience was on the same level as that of the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan. So, when I was in Mountain View, ISKCON, Silicon Valley, for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day last year, I mentioned the list of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings. He wrote something like 104 books, and Vaisheshika Prabhu commented that if anyone has ever tried to publish a pamphlet, they know how much goes into it. It's really hard to even publish a small pamphlet perfectly. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote more than 100 books, and some of them are very long. And you can understand from these descriptions how elevated some of the subjects were and how intricate the exposition was, with correspondences between, you know, the times of the day, the 8 verses of the Shikshastaka, the 8 stages of spiritual advancement in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and it's like it definitely absorb your mind fully in Krishna consciousness, you know, by reading his books and trying to apply them in life. But one point was very interesting here. He says about the Bhagavat Arka Marichimala, "How I was inspired to compile this work is a mystery, which I felt improper to disclose as it might constitute spiritual conceit." So at first he didn't want to disclose it because it might be something like spiritual pride, which would be an obstacle. "Subsequently, I realized that it would be a slight against my spiritual master, which might stand as an obstacle on the path of my spiritual progress." Now, it might be, he might be withholding some information that would glorify his spiritual master for fear that it might be taken as spiritual pride. And if he did withhold the information and cause a slight against his spiritual master, then that would create an obstacle in his spiritual progress. So he decided not to withhold the information. I realized that it would be a slight against my spiritual master, which might stand as an obstacle on the path of my spiritual progress. And therefore, without any shame, I record the fact that while under the benediction of my guru, I was meditating deeply on the Srimad Bhagavatam one day, when in a vision Sri Swarup Damodar, the intimate adherent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instructed me to compile the verses of the Bhagavata, and so on. So, as one advances in spiritual life, one becomes more aware of subtle deviations and offenses and how they can obstruct one's spiritual progress. And therefore one is always very careful not to do anything that will create an obstacle in one's spiritual progress. And in this case, initially he feared that telling that Swarup Damodar Goswami had appeared to him and guided him might be spiritual pride, which would create an obstacle. But subsequently he considered that not to disclose it would be a slight against his spiritual master, the benediction of his spiritual master that enabled him to have that vision, and that could create an obstacle, and therefore he spoke the truth without shame. So sometimes it happens that when we consider a situation, we think if we move in a certain direction, it may create an obstacle or an offense. But then we consider if we go in the other direction, that also might create an obstacle or an offense. And thus one has to, consider very seriously and perhaps consult to determine which is actually the better course of action. But of course, the main ingredient is sincerity and a sincere desire to be pure, become pure, and to please one's higher authorities, Parampara. And so this is very instructive for us. How someone on that level, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was so introspective and so careful. So earlier, when I picked up the book, I opened it to the end, and there is a very nice and short quotation from Srila Prabhupada, very last quotation, an excerpt from a lecture in London on September 23rd, 1969. That would have been Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day. Quote, if we are at all interested in spiritual science, we must follow the Vedic instruction as given through the disciplic succession by worshipping the Lord and the Acharya. One can gain spiritual knowledge. So on this day, we should adore and worship Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I should just mention that when Srila Prabhupada says spiritual knowledge, he doesn't mean some like intellectual or theoretical knowledge, but he actually means some realization. Because he says, by worshipping the Lord and the Acharya, by worshipping them, one gets knowledge. So clearly it's not like an intellectual knowledge or book knowledge. By worshipping the Lord and the Acharya, one can gain spiritual knowledge. So on this day, we should adore and worship Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because in the modern age, he reintroduced the disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya. 200 years after Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, the disciplic succession had deteriorated, and Bhaktivinoda reestablished the purity of this movement. So our adoration, worship of Bhaktivinoda Thakur should be so that he may bless us to make peaceful progress in Krishna consciousness. For simply by the blessings of the Acharyas, we can make rapid advancement. So this is This specific opportunity comes once in 100 years. So it's a very special opportunity to get blessings from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to progress in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.